It is noon on a Wednesday, so that means that it is, in fact, Hutton O'Clock. Jonathan Hutton from Outkick joins us now. Hut, always appreciate your time and appreciate you for joining us. The Titans have made a few moves so far in free agency, bringing in Tony Pollard, Lloyd Cushenberry, Chidobe Awuzie, the cornerback position, Kenneth Murray, linebacker, and Sadiq Charles, the most recent signing yesterday afternoon. Your initial impressions of what the Titans have done so far in free agency?
They've addressed key positions that they either lack depth in or just not good in to begin their overhaul of this roster. It's going to be a rebuild. This is not a quick fix. I think they got the best possible center in Lloyd Cushenberry, a proven starter, consistent, a big player. They're getting bigger at that position. They needed a Ben Jones type guy. It's rare. I heard Rex Road say this, and I totally agree. It's rare to get a free agent who is at the top of his game in going into the prime of his career at his age, but also does not have a lengthy injury history whatsoever. And that's key here. Two sacks allowed over the last two seasons for Cushenberry. I'm impressed that they jumped out and got the best possible player at that position. Tony Pollard is interesting on the surface level, but it's clear they wanted backs that are going to be interchangeable. I immediately think that they are less predictable based on which running back is on the field. And he's coming off a season where he started every game for Dallas. And then Chidobe Awuzie, if you're looking for interceptions, he's not this dude. He's not that guy. But in Denard Wilson's defense, he's a versatile player on the back end and a physical guy who will also help in the run game. But the key here is, can he cover? And he's immediately one of the three that can play all those positions. And now we get to see if they're going to go big, Caroline, at the corner position and continue that in free agency, where there's still some big names out there. And Kenneth Murray, I was just reading up on what his tenure has been like with the Chargers. If you're at his level and they didn't pick up the fifth year option, that's not saying very much for the veteran. So he's coming off a year where he had a career high in tackles. He had three sacks. He broke the football up in some pass breakups, but he also just based on observers, far too often he's caught out of position. They're going to add more, and they have added more with, I believe, Baker is going to visit, but they need to do more at that spot because they literally had nobody at that spot. They have to continue to address that. And they don't have a lot of draft capital. They do have a lot of cash, and they're using it to their advantage.
Yeah, I'm pretty underwhelmed with the Kenneth Murray signing. But like you said, Bringing in Jerome Baker for a visit. The linebacker position as a whole for the Titans has just been so underwhelming over the last few years. Swing and a miss on Rashawn Evans. Swing and a miss on Monty Rice. It feels like it's a position that has gone under-addressed at least over the past couple of years. But you bring up Jerome Baker, another player that the Titans are meeting with, is Chase Young, which I think is a fascinating case study. What do you make of both Jerome Baker and Chase Young? And if you were the Titans, what kind of deal would you sign either of those two?
Well, I mean, I think both of those players, and maybe but with Chase Young, I mean, if he's healthy from that knee injury, here's what I think of Chase Young. The 49ers traded, two picks for him, I believe. And for this short-term deal from the trade deadline this past season to now, it doesn't feel like they're even trying to bring him back. But he's coming off a season where he had 15 quarterback hits. He had eight sacks or so for the combined year with the Commanders and the 49ers. It didn't have the impact that the 49ers wanted. He's young. I think he's 25 or 26 years old. So that's to his advantage. And I think at this stage, D. Mason, Willie, chime in too, Caroline. If I'm him, I'm looking for maybe a short-term deal, 1 or 2 years to cash in and bet on himself. And then you get the long-term deal that he's looking for that he didn't get in Washington. And as far as Jerome Baker, I like him. And he would be paired up, hypothetically, if he signs with Frank Bush, who he has played with before coaching his position. I like that pairing, and that's what they've kind of done here. They've gone with who they know And it's pretty clear that the front office, from the management standpoint, is listening and collaborating with the coaches that are have worked with certain players just based on what they've done in the secondary, what they could do at linebacker, and certainly what they've done overall with the deals with Callahan. I like the direction of that with the familiarity of this new regime and what they want. That's key here, and the coaches seem to be getting the players that fit their style and system.
We'll talk with Jonathan Hutton, Outkick. Now, you're right about that, Jonathan, in regards to Chase Young. I think it would, if indeed you do sign him, or if anyone signs him, which they will, it's a one-year deal, prove-it deal. And to me, like I told Caroline, I know some people may look at it as, say, listen, he was a former first-round draft pick, second pick in the draft. It didn't work out in Washington. They sent him to San Fran. San Fran doesn't want to sign him back. But I think the way that Rand Carthon and the Titans are looking at it as a one-year deal, a one-year prove-it deal, because if you prove it to us, then you can go out and ask for, you know, $15, $17, $18 million, which we may get the best version of Chase Young thus far. What do you say to that?
Well, I mean, look, I'm thinking about what they have to replace in the pass rush from what they lost with Danico Autry.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that guy, that's a big loss for them up front. And, you know, the production and the consistency, I don't think you make up in one player with who they bring in. There's going to be a couple of guys who need to bring that to the table to pair with Jeffrey Simmons and what they're doing outside. So I like the one-year deal. I like players in their final year of their contract. I bet I love wide receivers, base, who are in the final year of their contracts. Love them. And certainly on the pass rush and at corner, they generally play through injuries a bit better. They have more to prove and more to lose, quite frankly. And especially guys who are coming off of their rookie deal, the second contract is where you can cash in. And now he's a year behind if he's only signing a one-year deal and he's already been traded once. I like betting on Chase Young with the production of what we've seen when he's been healthy. And Mace, this is also key. The Titans in the last few years have brought in players through free agency. I'm thinking Bud Dupree and others. Mm-hmm. They've done it in the draft too, that have had an injury history. And that has not been great for production on the flip side of signing in Nashville versus where they were. I'm wary of that just based on what we've seen. But this would be again, if the Titans get what they want, this would be a low risk, high reward type signing. If in fact you get the 1 year deal, bet on yourself. And it's quite frankly, it's similar to what we've seen with some of the contracts that players that have left here recently have gone on to do. They've cashed in, and I think Al Shire is trying to do it again with what they're doing in Houston.
Now, obviously, the wide receiver position is another position of need for the Titans, and they have not addressed it via free agency. But there are still a few names out there, most notably Calvin Ridley. And I do expect there to be other receivers come June 1st, but you don't look that far because they have the draft coming up. If they're going to address the receiver position, they would first do it in a draft. But what do you say? Because now it went from, you know, go get Marquise Brown, which – it's a no-no, people. Stop it with that one. Now it's Curtis Samuel. Stop it with Curtis Samuel. What kills me, Hutt, is that people talk about the speed. I get it. You run the 40, you show the speed. Yeah, he showed speed in college. But he hasn't shown that speed in the NFL. There's different speed. You can play fast in college. Why? Because everybody else seemed to be slower than you. But when you step up a notch, that's when it really tells me whether you got speed or not. And this dude, Curtis Samuel, hasn't averaged over 14 yards a reception in his whole career. And he's been in the league, what, 5-6 years? So damn with the people, stop it with the speed. If you're going to talk about speed, then talk about somebody that not only shows the speed off the field, but shows the speed on the field. Tyreek type of speed. They show it off the field and on the field. And because my thing is this, a guy like Mike Evans, You don't consider him fast, right? But he averages over 13, 14 yards a catch. But then the guys you consider fast are averaging 10, 11, 12 yards
Hollywood
a catch.
Brown.
Exactly. It doesn't make sense to me.
Right. Well, and A.J. Brown comes to mind. Exactly. Not the fastest guy.
Absolutely.
But productive. Yeah. I mean, and so I like Curtis Samuel if he's the number three guy in your receiving corps. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, he finds the end zone. I'll give him credit for that. And I only know that through fantasy football. So, he would be brought in to be more currently than what he's been. And I don't like paying a guy for that. Mm-hmm. The group of wide receivers right now, Mace, they're not the lead dog, right? Mm-hmm. Other than Ridley, but Ridley's really not that guy either, or he wouldn't be on the market right now. Mm-hmm. So I look at it from the perspective of that every team's just trying to piece things together with the free agents currently. And they don't have to rush to do it because the draft is heavy in wide receiver this year. And you can probably get a better overall productive player than what some of these guys have shown. But here's also, I mean, the Titans do need a big upgrade there.
Oh,
the
they do. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, Curtis Samuel would be an upgrade, even though I'm totally on your side of this with what we've seen versus the hype behind him. So can he help the Titans? Yes. Do they need to overpay for any of these guys? No. Because the other teams aren't going to do it either. If that was true, we would be seeing some of the contracts that I'm surprised by with the running back position with how quickly these guys went off the shelf.
Talking to Jonathan Hutton, OutKick. Now, how do you think or do you think or believe that the Titans are, you know, one of the front runners to acquire Ladarius Sneed? Now, what has come out is a third round pick. If they can get him for a third round pick, please do it. I mean, I know they don't have one this year, but obviously it would be the third round pick for next year. If you can get him for a third round pick, which, you know, Hutt, I don't think that's too far outside of, I don't think that's too outlandish to say, because again, you're getting a player that Kansas City feels they cannot sign. So if you cannot sign a player, what you're trying to do is get as much as you possibly can. And maybe other teams are starting to see other teams are only offering a third round pick. So a third round pick and a player may be just enough to get Ladarius Sneed here or anywhere else.
Titans need one of those picks, right? Uh-huh. They need the third round. Kansas City, though, like, I would just use Ladarius Sneed under the franchise tag if I'm just going to get a third round pick in return. That's mm-hmm. He's more valuable to my defense than a third round pick would be for their whole team.
And they don't even have a third round pick.
Well, it would be a third round for next year.
I'm just saying, like a 2025 like offer third? From other teams.
No way.
Hey, but hey, if that's no and listen, way. We I don't know why we're saying no way, Hutt, because if Kansas City's going to do it, then let them do it. I take them for a third round next year.
I'm saying if I'm KC, I'm not trading him for anything like that. I would just keep him on my roster mm-hmm. and pay him under the tag, especially after Mahomes is restructured and gave him some space. Like, again, and what he's meant to that defense, I would rather have him on my team than have a third-round pick. That's just how I'm viewing his value, and I don't think they separate from him just based on that, unless there's some kind of, you know, but it's a mutual that they're trying to find a trade partner. You're going to have to give up more than that, I would think. I mean, but maybe not, because Justin Fields is rumored to be able to be traded for a third round pick, you know, which is also crazy with what's going on here. I find it hard to believe that you're going to franchise tag a player and then trade him for a third, especially with the value that he meant to the defensive side of the football, paired with Chris Jones, who they're also bringing back. So if they're going for the three-peat, they want him on that team. But he's just not going to get the long-term deal. He's going to have to play on the one-year deal. But guess who else? Chris Jones just did that. And it worked out in his favor, too. I'm not trading him for that type of value, Mace. I'm keeping him.
I hear you on that. But if they do it, then be it.
If they do it,
but the Titans have to give up more than a third this year. I'm not trading him if it's for next year, a next year's pick. I would trade him for a pick this year, and the Titans currently don't have that.
Exactly.
Talk with Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Derrick Henry headed to the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
What do you think of that move from the Baltimore perspective and from Derrick's perspective?
I mean, from Derek's perspective, it's smart. I mean, I think it's a fit for Baltimore, but it's a fit for Henry with what his priorities have been. You know, he mentioned he wants to go and compete for a title. Baltimore gives him that opportunity. They're winning at a high level. They're playing in the AFC Championship game. They have a two-time MVP at quarterback. I mean, say what you want about what happened against Kansas City, but the fact is they handed to their running backs six times in that game. Six times running backs touched the football out of the backfield in a game where the defense for Baltimore did not allow a single point in the second half. If Derrick Henry's on that team, they're going to get the football more to the running backs instead of putting it on the arm of Lamar Jackson. I like the RPO game that Derek has been in, especially whenever he was with Arthur Smith out of the pistol. Baltimore's in the shotgun a lot. If they go to the pistol, that gives Derek the opportunity to be more effective. And he was a 2,000 yard rusher in that type of offense with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback in 2020. So I like it from that angle too. I think Baltimore gets a guy that just, there are certain franchises that just have an identity that follows them no matter what year, no matter what era, no matter what regime, whatever. Baltimore is just known for being that physical team. And they now have a back that can pair with them. It just fits overall with running player and organization. It makes total sense. It's bittersweet at the same time from the Titans perspective and Titans fans perspective. I totally get it. But take the Ravens helmet off or the logo off and just know it's a franchise A, franchise B, or C. To me, the description of that team describes the running back that they just received. And they want to run the football. They're about it, and they need more than just Lamar Jackson running the football. And now for a running back that routinely had eight in the box against him stacked up, now they have options with Lamar Jackson running it on the RPO. You've got Derrick Henry, and certainly he's coming off of year Lamar is, where he had the best wide receiving core so far of his career. So Mark Andrews will be back. Offensively, it makes sense, and they're bringing back a really good defense too. Henry made the right choice. If the other option was Dallas, personally, I'd rather be in Baltimore.
I think the Ravens are going to be so dangerous. I think it was a great move for both sides.
They already were, you know? Yeah. They already were. Now they get he's 30 years old. He was a target for the Ravens last season at the trade deadline. And now they get a guy who, Caroline, he led the league in three rushing categories from 2017 to 2022. In yards, touchdowns, and yards per game. And now at 30, while you don't generally see the player cash in after that age, especially at that position, they got him for $8 million a year. He's coming off a year where he's making 12. That's to me, good business by Baltimore. And I think it's a good decision by Henry.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. Last one for you, Hutt. What are some positions or even players that are kind of non-negotiables for you for the Titans to address in free agency? Let's just say within the first couple of weeks.
Well, I mean, they wide receiver, just go by position here. Wide receiver has to be addressed in free agency and the draft. They need another corner. And this is me going through the angle of drafting a tackle in the first round. You know, they're clearly looking at defensive line. They want to upgrade there. And if they're going offensive tackle and we're just following the trends, Jonah Williams, I don't know if he signed within the last hour and a half, you guys may know, but the Bengals left tackle testing free agency.
Yeah.
He played right tackle after they signed Orlando Brown. Callahan would know him very well. Mm-hmm. And well, he allowed 13 sacks, before at left tackle. So they've got to be, he's got to be better at that angle of things. Maybe that's why he's still in the market. But again, with the right coaching, he could be dominant. Is Callahan high on him? Was that the right coaching? Again, he's been there. He knows him. The offensive line will be addressed, and it has been. But tackle, to me, is – I think I'm trending towards the draft. And if that's the case, wide receiver's got to be at item zero of all of this for what they're doing. But there are role players at the free agent level right now. There are elite players at pick number 7 that they could have. Options are open for them. And beyond that, they need another backer. I think the Jerome Baker visit will be key.
Yeah.
And I could see them, if they want to really go big, that there's still some some high-end corners on the market too that can come in and immediately upgrade at the number one spot for you and allow Chidobe Awuzie to be the guy that he's been, not the player that you're paying him to be, which typically matches up with the player that they've been in free agency. Denard Wilson will get the most out of him, but I don't know if Awuzie is continuing to trend up, because we've already seen him paired with Denard Wilson in the past.
Yeah. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hut, always appreciate you. Thanks for stopping by, and we'll chat with you next week.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Always enjoy this segment, guys, and you guys have a good rest of the week.
Appreciate it. You too, Hut.